Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Jonathan, listening in Silver Spring, Maryland. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, Hank. I'm a big fan of the program.
Thank you.
First, I just wanted to tell you, I've had the opportunity to call in before, but I like to tell you every time that I grew up Jehovah's Witness, and I abandoned all of Christianity when I was about 21, when I was disfellowshipped, and wandered around for a couple of years until I came across your program by accident, and to this day, I've got two little girls and a lovely wife, and we are all baptized Lutherans.
Bless you, Jonathan.
So your program does work for people listening out there. Hmm. So my question is, my wife and I are planning on homeschooling our two girls and any other children that we may have, and we were discussing science the other night, and when they're old enough, I mean, I think we will end up getting them tutors for biology and chemistry and things like that. My question for you, though, is I was just wondering if you could maybe comment on, I don't believe in all aspects of evolution. I've listened to your program for a long time now, and I know all the arguments, but I feel that I myself am lacking in understanding all the concepts surrounding evolution, which makes it hard to talk to people that deeply adhere to evolution, especially Darwinism. So could you just maybe speak on the balance between kids and even high school and college age kids learning about evolution? I think is important, not just to reach people, but also to not immediately turn them off to your message, because I feel like sometimes people just dismiss you because you seem to be an anti-science, you know, Bible thumper.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah, and brilliant insights in the prologue to your question, because I think we do have to understand the evolutionary paradigm. Now, in saying that, we can't understand every aspect of the evolutionary paradigm. I mean, this is true with evolutionists themselves. They have their own specific narrow disciplines and oftentimes can't think outside those parameters. So you're not alone. The evolutionist is oftentimes in that same circumstance. But I like what the intelligent design theorists propose, and that is follow truth wherever it leads, which is to say, we need to be aware of the evolutionary hypothesis, because think about this. Other than the Bible, Darwin's The Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection is perhaps the most significant literary work in the annals of recorded history. Certainly, it's been dubbed that. So it's a very significant paradigm that affects us in virtually every dimension of our lives. And so we should understand what's being taught, and we should also understand how to refute what's being taught. I think it's important for us to be able to say that evolutionism, while tenable in 19th century science perhaps, because of a dearth of knowledge, certainly is not tenable in an age of scientific enlightenment. The notion that nothing creates everything, that life came from non-life, and that the life that came from non-life produced morals simply doesn't fly when you subject it to scrutiny. Evolution simply is untenable. We have a flip chart called Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution, where I use farce as an acronym to show, with the F, that the fossil record says no, the A, that the ape men icon has become the argument. It is, in essence, a dogmatic assertion as opposed to a defensible argument, recapitulation, known by the popular evolutionary cliche ontogeny, recapitulates phylogeny. It's the idea that the emerging embryo goes through all of the evolutionary phases. So at one time it is a fish, and then it becomes a frog, and later on becomes a fetus. And by the way, I should say, ideas have consequences here, because Sagan, when he was alive, he was the most popular evolutionist on the planet. And he used to say, look, if you abort early enough in the first trimester, let's say, you're aborting a creature rather than a child. Now, again, the evidence against this is very plain and simple. This is not theological contention. It's plain old experimental evidence in an age of scientific enlightenment. But the C stands for chance, that which is without purpose in the sense that I'm using it. So you have design without a designer. And chance simply says that the evolutionary paradigm has no chance. You can't form something as simple as a protein molecule by random chances if you give evolutionists every benefit of the doubt. And then the E stands for empirical science. What I do there is show that the empirical laws of science militate against the evolutionary hypothesis and support the creation model for origins. So, yeah, we should understand not only what evolutionists hold to, but how to take their belief and now use the deviations as opportunities to share the truth and love and grace that only comes when you say, in the beginning, God.
Well said. Thank you. That really helps. I've got a lot to think about then.
Well, you got it. And again, we have this available for those that support the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can get your copy for your gift on the web at equip.org. When you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letter is CRI. Next up, Tad, listening in Chicago, Illinois. Hi, Tad.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
My question is, if you can explain why, what's the reason that the devil fight over Moses' body? Why he want his body and not another body, like the David's body, Joseph's body, Abraham's body?
Yeah.
And what's the reason you want his body?
Yeah, well, if you go to the text, what the text says is that in the very same way, and this is Jude 1:8, these dreamers pollute their own bodies, rejecting authority and slander celestial beings. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against him, but he said, "The Lord rebuke you." Yet these men speak abusively against whatever they do not understand, and what things they do understand by instinct, like unreasoning animals, these are the very things that destroy them. This is a very clear, in context, warning that we should be careful about the words that we use, the arguments that we use. In other words, we should not merely rely on human reason, but rather on the spirit within. This is part and parcel of what it means to be in touch with the indwelling spirit, or as Peter said, a partaker of the divine nature, so that what we do is not by might nor by power, but by his spirit. But in terms of what's actually going on in context in Jude here, is Clement, Origen, other church fathers point out that Jude here is drawing from an apocryphal, a pseudepigrapha, that is called the Assumption of Moses, which derives within Second Temple Judaism from speculation about what happened to the body of Moses. So that's the source, and it shouldn't surprise us, because if you go a few paragraphs later in Jude, you'll find that Jude is also drawing from the Book of Enoch. Now, all truth is God's truth, so the fact that this is not canonical, that this isn't part of the canon, doesn't mean that there's not truth involved or that we can cite something that is non-canonical. Of course we can, and the Bible certainly does. So recall that somewhat enigmatic reference to Moses' burial in Deuteronomy 34, which suggests that the Lord buried Moses and no one else knows where his grave is. So this is kind of the pretext, as it were, to set up the principle that I just articulated. But it comes by drawing from the assumption of Moses. And again, this is an apocryphal book, but doesn't mean that it doesn't contain truth. And we've talked about the Book of Enoch on other broadcasts, but that's the basic principle going on here. We are coming up to a station break. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember the resources that we talk about on the show. You can not only access on the web at equip.org, but you can also access at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants, they're standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Be right back with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
If you were going into combat, what would be more important, the number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard 24/7 through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences,
filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Jason, listening in Houston, Texas, on the web. Hi, Jason.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you.
I had a quick question about the objective moral values and duties. I was talking with an atheist friend of mine who raised the question, why is something objectively moral just because God says it? Like, if God said that murder is moral, then we'd have a license to murder, and that would make it right. Kind of understanding where I'm, what I'm.
Yeah, but remember that the atheist that asked that question has no basis for asking the question themselves, because from their standpoint, everything is fatalistically determined by brain chemistry and genetics. So, as I've said many times, if Madonna was merely a material girl living in a material world, her choices are not free, they're fatalistically determined. In a Christian worldview, we have an objective lawgiver who has not only revealed himself in general revelation, but also revealed himself in special revelation. So we know something about the nature of the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. And therefore, we know that he is not going to be able to do anything. He can only do those things which are morally justifiable, and he can only do those things which are logically possible. For example, God cannot lie, and he can't create a one-sided triangle. So God can't do everything, but he can do those things which are in accordance with his nature, and his nature reveals for us those things which are actually intuitively recognizable by us. In other words, the law is written on the tablet of our hearts. So even those who do not have direct access to special revelation are held accountable by that knowledge written upon the canvas of their consciousness.
Okay, that kind of clears things up a bit. Thanks, Hank.
Hey, you got it. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. John, he's listening in Lynbrook, New York, on the web. Hi, John.
Hi, Hank. I'm a big fan of the show. I've listened to podcasts. My mom passed away Friday, and I'm like, where is she? I know absent from the body with God, and I hear people saying she's looking down at you, and I walk outside in my backyard, and I feel the wind. I'm like, is the wind talking to me? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I do, John. And first of all, sorry for the loss of your mother. That's got to be very difficult. I lost my father in 1997. It was difficult. But what happens at death? Well, there's an unnatural rending between the body and the soul, or another way of putting that is that there's an unnatural rending between the physical and non-physical aspects of our humanity. Now, the physical aspect of our humanity has awareness, which is to say it's locatable and it can be buried. But the non-physical aspect of our humanity does not have awareness. It has awareness, but not location in space. So to ask where the soul is a category mistake. But to say to you that as a believer, her soul is with the Lord is correct biblically. So absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now, that does not mean in any way that those who have gone on before can interact in this time-space continuum. I think that the counsel of Scripture points in an opposite direction. So we can certainly hope that they are thinking about us, our loved ones are interacting with the Lord with respect to us, but they don't interact in this world anymore. They are being comforted by the Lord. Or conversely, as unbelievers, they're in torment. They're awaiting the time in which they will be resurrected along with the righteous. As Jesus said, do not be amazed at this. The time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be condemned. Those who are resurrected to eternal condemnation will be separated from the love and grace of God for all eternity. But in the present, they are in torment awaiting that judgment. And this is what Jesus defines or depicts very graphically in, again, Luke chapter 16.
Yes. So the wind, like, I'm feeling the wind, and that's not her. I mean, am I just imagining that? I mean, I know she's with God. I know.
Well, yeah, I mean, and it's very natural to imagine something like that because you want to remember your mother in virtually everything that you touch or see or recall. There's an association there with your mother because obviously I can tell just by the tenor of your voice that you loved your mother very much. So, yeah, she's not communicating with you in that way, but the things that you experience are associations which will help you think about her and consider her life and the relationship that you've had.
Thank you, Hank.
Hey, you got it, John. Thank you so much for your call. Written about what happens after death in my book, Afterlife. It is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Taylor next in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Taylor.
Hey, Hank. Hey, got a quick question for you. I've been going through the Beatitudes here the past couple weeks, and I just got a question about Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Just the inherit the earth section, kind of the second part to Jesus' blessing. Like, still trying to wrap my mind around that. Could you possibly explain that a little bit?
Yes. Jesus here, as he oftentimes does, and this is the manner of the New Testament writers in general, he's drawing from the Old Testament. In this case, he's drawing our attention to Psalm 37, a little while, and the wicked shall be no more, but the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. So this is the basis for Jesus Christ saying the meek will inherit the earth. And of course, that's precisely what is going to happen when Jesus Christ appears a second time. We will inherit the earth. In other words, it's not just going to be, as the disciples and listeners of Jesus Christ thought, a little piece of land on the east coast of the Mediterranean Sea, but it is going to be the earth, this universe restored, in other words. The meek will inherit that. But the unrighteous are not going to be inheritors of that promise. Rather, they are going to be those who are separated from this dimension. And you can think about it this way. Right now, the dimension of God and the dimension of humanity are separate domains. And yet, when Jesus appears a second time, the veil will be lifted, and the domain of God and the domain of humanity will be conjoined, one with the other. So just as the domain of God is now separate from us, so the wicked will be in another domain or dimension, and they will not, therefore, inherit the land or inherit the earth as we will. So this is a prophetic teaching of Jesus Christ, which is inaugurated when he comes. As C.S. Lewis said, the king has landed in disguise and is calling us all to be part of a great campaign of sabotage, which means to sabotage the works of the evil one. So in the end, when that sabotage is complete, as it were, then the kingdom will not only be inaugurated as with the first coming of Jesus Christ, but will be consummated upon his second coming. Back to the phone lines next. We'll talk to Peter listening in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Peter.
Hey, Hank. I'm just wondering, once you get to heaven, will you ever get tired of it? Because if you're there for eternity, I feel like it could get old or boring.
Well, think about this. You will never exhaust exploring not only the nature of the one who saved you by his grace, but you will never exhaust exploring his created handiwork. Think about the universe in which we live right now. 100 billion galaxies. I mean, we're a speck in the Milky Way galaxy, but 100 billion galaxies, each with at least 100 billion stars. Some say 400 billion stars, even more. So if you think about the immensity of the universe and the fact that you are going to be able to grow and learn and develop without error, no, you'll never get bored. In fact, What's cool about this is that we will be perfected in the sense that we won't make mistakes, but we will not be omniscient. Humanity simply can't bear the burden of omniscience. So yes, we're going to grow. We're going to be intrigued. We're going to be stimulated. We're going to have interactions with one another without a modicum of envy or selfishness or jealousy. I mean, relationships are going to be on a level that we can't even conceive of right now. So is there anything boring about that? Absolutely nothing at all. So we can't take our present circumstance and project it into the eternal circumstance and think that somehow or other we're going to be twiddling our thumbs or bored. No, we're going to be invigorated. Every capacity that we have as a human being is going to be taxed to the fullest. I mean, it is going to be not only resplendent, but just enjoyable to the full. We are going to learn and grow and develop. And this is going to be an eternal condition, not a static condition, but an ongoing series of kaleidoscopes, one after the other.
All right, thank you, Hank. That's all I needed.
Hey, you got, again, written about this in Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, Near-Death Experiences. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Unfortunately, out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.